Section 1. You will hear a man, Martin Hill, phoning an estate agent in order to find some accommodation. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 3. Now we shall begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 3.
Hello, Brindle's estate agents here. How may I help you?
Oh, good morning. I'm ringing to see what flats you have for rent at the moment.
Right. Can I start by just taking your name, Mr.
Hill, Martin Hill.
Right. And are you looking for a flat for yourself or, a family, perhaps?
Well, it's for three of us, myself and two friends. We're going to share together.
I see. What about employment? Are you all students?
Oh, no, we've all got full-time jobs. Two of us work in the central bank, that's Chris and me, and Phil, that's the other one, is working for Hallam Cars, you know, at the factory about 2 miles out of town.
I'll put you down as young professionals then. And I suppose you'll be looking for somewhere with three bedrooms?
Yeah, at least three. But actually, we'd rather have a fourth room as well, if we can afford it, for friends staying over and stuff.
Is that with a living room to share, plus kitchen and bathroom?
Yeah, that sounds good. But we must have a bathroom with a shower. We don't mind about having a bath, but the shower's crucial.
OK, I'll just key that in. And are you interested in any particular area?
Well, the city centre would be good for me and Chris, so that's our first preference. But we'd consider anything in the west suburbs as well, really. Actually, for Phil, that'd be better, but he knows he's outnumbered. But we aren't interested in the north or the east of the city.
OK. I'm just getting up all the flats on our books.
Now you have some time to look at questions 4 to 10 on page 39. Now listen and answer questions 4 to 10.
Just looking at this list here, I'm afraid there are only two that might interest you. Do you want the details?
Okay, let me just grab a pen and some paper. Fire away.
This first one I'm looking at is in Bridge Street and very close to the bus station. It's not often that flats in that area come up for rent. This one's got three bedrooms, a bathroom and kitchen, of course, and a very big living room. That sounds a good size for you.
So what about the rent? How much is it a month?
The good news is that it's only £450 a month. Rents in that area usually reach up to £650 a month, but the landlord obviously wants to get a tenant quickly.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a bargain. What about transport for Phil?
Well, there'll be plenty of buses, so no problem for him to use public transport. But unfortunately, there isn't a shower in the flat. And that location is likely to be noisy, of course.
Okay. What about the other place?
Let's see. Oh, yes. Well, this one is in a really nice location, on Hills Avenue. I'm sure you know it. This looks like something a bit special. It's got four big bedrooms and, there's a big living room. And, oh, this'll be good for you. A dining room. It sounds enormous, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds great.
That whole area is being developed. And the flat's very modern, which I'm sure you'll like. It's got good facilities, including your shower. And of course it's going to be quiet, especially compared with the other place.
Better and better. But I'll bet it's expensive, especially if it's in that trendy area beside the park.
I'm afraid so. They're asking £800 a month for it.
Whoa! It sounds a lot more than we can afford.
Well, maybe you could get somebody else to move in too. I'll tell you what. Give me your address and I can send you all the details and photos. And you can see whether these two are worth a visit.
Thanks. That would be really helpful. My address is flat 5.
That is the end of section 1. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 2 on page 40. Section 2. You will hear a tour guide welcoming a group of visitors to the British Library and telling them about the library and what they will see there. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15 on page 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your very own tour of the British Library on this lovely afternoon. My name is Tony Walters, and I'm your guide for today. Could I please see your tickets for the guided tour? I'd also like to remind you that any tickets bought today do not include a visit to the reading rooms. I'm afraid we don't do visits on Fridays, or any weekday during working hours, so as not to disturb the readers. But if you do want to see those rooms, the only day there are tours is on Sundays. So, I don't want anyone to be disappointed about that today. Okay? Thank you. Right, we'll start with a brief introduction. As many of you know, this is the United Kingdom's National Library. And you can see that this is a magnificent modern building. It was first designed by Sir Colin St. John Wilson in 1977 and inaugurated by Her Majesty the Queen more than 20 years later in 1998. As you can see, the size is immense and the basements alone have 300 kilometres of shelving, and that's enough to hold about 12 million books. The total floor space here is 100,000 square metres, and as I'll show you, the library houses a huge range of facilities and exhibition spaces, and it has 1,000 staff members based here in the building. So, you can appreciate the scale of our operation. In fact, this was the biggest publicly funded building constructed in the United Kingdom last century. It is still funded by the government as a national institution, of course, and it houses one of the most important collections in the world. The different items come from every continent and span almost 3,000 years. The library isn't a public library, though. You can't just come in and join and borrow any of the books. Access to the collections is limited to those involved in carrying out research. So it's really a huge reference library for that purpose, and anyone who wants to consult any materials that are kept here can formally apply to use the library reading rooms.
You now have some time to look at questions 16 to 20 on page 41. Now listen and answer questions 16 to 20.
Right, well, here we are, standing at the meeting point on the lower ground floor, just to the right of the main entrance. I've given you all a plan of the building so that we can orientate ourselves and get an idea of where we'll be going. Now, outside the main entrance, you'll see the wide piazza with the stunning sculpture of Newton. The sculptor was Paolozzi, but it's based on the famous image by William Blake, and it's definitely worth a closer look. On the other side of the piazza from the statue is the conference centre, which is used for all kinds of international conventions. We'll take a quick look inside at the end of our tour. Looking ahead of us now, you'll see that we're standing opposite the staircase down to the basement, where you'll find the cloakroom, and to the left of that, we have the information desk, where you can find out about any current exhibitions, the times of the tours, and anything you need to know, if you don't have a tour guide. As you can see, on this lower ground floor, we also have a bookshop. That's the area over to the left of the main entrance. You'll be free to browse there when we get back to the ground floor. Now, opposite the main entrance on this floor, we have the open stairs leading up to the upper ground floor. And at the top of them, in the middle of the upper ground floor, you can see a kind of glass-sided tower that rises all the way up through the ceiling and up to the first floor. This is called the King's Library. It's really the heart of the building. It was built to house the collection that was presented to the nation in 1823 by the King. You can see it from every floor above ground. When we go up there, you'll find the library's treasures gallery on the left. Can you find it on your plan? That's the exciting one. So we'll be visiting that first, but we'll also take a look at the stamp display situated behind it on the way to the cafe. A lot of people miss that. The cafeteria runs along the back of the floor, and in the right-hand corner, you'll find the lifts and toilets. Always good to locate them. The other main area on that floor is the public access catalogue section, and I'll show you how that operates when we get up there.
That is the end of section two. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3 on page 42. Section 3. You will hear two students, Sharon and Zhao Li, talking to their tutor about a presentation they gave the previous week. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 23 on page 92. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 23.
So, Sharon and Zhao Li, in your presentation last week, you were talking about the digital divide, the gap between those who can effectively use communication tools, such as the internet, and those who can't. And you compared the situation here in Northern Ireland with Southeast China. Right, so I asked you to do some self-evaluation, watching the video of your presentation and thinking about the three main criteria you're assessed by: content, structure, and technique. What do you think was the strongest feature of the presentation when you watched it? Sharon?
Well, I was surprised, actually, because I felt quite nervous. But When I watched the video, it didn't show as much as I expected.
So which of the criteria would that come under?
Confidence?
That's not actually one of the criteria as such. Zhaoli?
Technique? It's body language and eye contact, isn't it? Well, I didn't think I looked all that confident, but I think that our technique was generally good, like the way we designed and used the PowerPoint slides.
Hmm. So, you both feel happiest about that side of the presentation?
Yeah.
Hmm. OK, now on the negative side, what would you change if you could do it again?
Well, at first, I'd thought that the introduction was going to be the problem, but actually I think that was OK. We defined our terms and identified key issues. It was more towards the end. The conclusion wasn't too bad, but the problem was the questions. Mm. We hadn't really expected there'd be any, so we hadn't thought about them that much.
Uh-huh. Okay, anything else?
Well, like Zhao Li says, I thought the conclusion was okay, but when I watched us on the video, I thought the section on solutions seemed rather weak.
Hmm. Can you think why?
Well, we explained what people are doing about the digital divide in China and Northern Ireland, but I suppose we didn't really evaluate any of the projects or ideas. It was just a list, and that was what people were asking us about at the end, mostly.
You now have some time to look at questions 24 to 30 on page 93. Now listen and answer questions 24 to 30.
Okay, now, I also asked you to get some peer evaluation from the other students.
Yes, well, people said it was interesting, like the fact that in China the internet was used more for shopping than in Northern Ireland. They said sometimes it was a bit hard to understand because we were talking quite fast, but we didn't think so when we watched the video.
No, it's a bit different, though, because you know all this information already.
Mm.
If you're hearing it for the first time, you need more time to process it. That's why signposting the structure and organisation of the talk is important.
That seemed okay. No one mentioned that as a problem. Some people said that we could have had more on the slides, like some of the other groups had nearly everything they said written up on the visuals as well.
Mm.
But other people said the slides were good. They had just the key points.
Yes.
And most people said we had quite good eye contact and body language. They all pointed out we'd overrun. They all said we were 5 minutes over. But we timed it afterwards on the video, and it was only 3 minutes.
We were a bit unsure about the background reading at first, but I think we did as much as we could in the time. Anyway, no one commented on that under content. But one thing that did come out was that they liked the fact we'd done research on both Northern Ireland and China. Most other people had just based their research on one country. We managed to get quite a lot of data from the internet, although we had to do our own analysis, and we did our own surveys as well in both countries. So the class gave us best feedback for content, but it was all okay.
Right. Well, that's quite similar to the feedback I'm giving you. I was very impressed by the amount of work you'd done and by your research methodology. So, actually, I'm giving you full marks for content. 5.
Oh.
The structure of the presentation was good, but not quite as good as the content. So, I gave that 4. And the same for technique. So, well done.
Thank you.
Now, the next stage is to write up your report. So, just a few pointers for you here. First of all, in your presentation, I think your ending was rather abrupt. You suddenly just stopped talking.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big problem, but think about your closing sentences in your report. You want to round it off well.
Mm.
One thing I forgot to mention earlier was that I felt a very strong point was that after you'd given your results, you explained their limitations.
The fact that we didn't have a very reliable sample in terms of age in China.
Yes, that section. So don't forget to include that. And you had some excellent charts and diagrams. But maybe you could flesh out the literature review a bit. I can give you some ideas for that later on, if you want. OK, is there anything else you want to ask?
No, thank you.
Thanks.
That is the end of Section 3. You now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 4 on page 94. Section 4. You will hear a student giving a presentation about some ways of dealing with the problems of urbanization and city growth. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40 on page 94. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Well, Adam's just been talking about some of the problems that have resulted from the rapid growth of cities in the last 100 years. Things like housing, sanitation, crime and so on. For my presentation, I'd like to look at some examples of what cities are doing to try to solve some of these problems. As part of its Healthy City program, the World Health Organization, the WHO, has come up with a set of criteria for a healthy city. The WHO says that, amongst other things, a healthy city must provide a clean environment which is also safe. It mustn't be dirty or dangerous for its inhabitants. As well as that, the WHO says a healthy city has got to be able to satisfy its inhabitants' basic needs. That's all its inhabitants, not just the rich ones or the ones with jobs, everyone who lives there. A third thing, a third criterion, is that it's got to have health services which can be used by all the inhabitants and which they can access easily. The final point's to do with local government. The WHO says this is something that the whole community should be involved in, not just a few powerful politicians or businessmen. So, a healthy city is not just a matter of avoiding illness, that sort of healthiness. It's the way that the whole city works together for the benefit of its population. OK, so what I'd like to do now is to look at some projects in different cities around the world where cities have tried to meet these criteria, to make their cities healthy ones. Right. The first project I'm going to discuss took place in Sri Lanka, and this project was called the Community Contract System. Its aim was to improve the places where the poorest section of the population lived, the squatter settlements. Basically, the problem was lack of infrastructure, things like drains, paths, wells for water and so on. So, a program was set in place to construct this infrastructure. But what was different about it was that the residents did this, the people who actually lived there, not people from outside. And this meant that not only did the people end up with improved housing and infrastructure, but also because they had contracts with the community, it improved their chances from an economic point of view. So that's a way the lives of people in one urban environment were improved. The next project I'd like to discuss took place in the capital city of Mali in West Africa. This project involved setting up a cooperative to try to solve the problems of sanitation in the old central quarters of the city. One of the main problems was a lack of a system for garbage collection, which meant that there were a lot of insects, and this was causing disease. And again, it's interesting to look at who was involved in dealing with this problem. In this case, the cooperative involved students who had graduated from secondary school in getting a system going. As well as that, the cooperative set up a campaign to educate the public about the importance of good sanitation through showing films and setting up discussion groups among the local people, especially women and adolescents. And the outcome was an increased environmental awareness, which led to changes in household behaviour, as well as improved living conditions. OK, the third project was in Egypt, just outside the capital, Cairo, which is a city that's grown very rapidly in the last few decades. This project was based in a women's centre in a poor area called Makatim. The aim of the project was to support girls, young women from the area from poor families. So these were women who had no education. They'd never been to school, so they were totally illiterate, and they had no chance of getting jobs. At the women's centre, they were shown how to sew and how to weave, and once they'd learned these skills, they were given the equipment, a sewing machine or a loom, so that they could make things to sell and have a chance of earning their own living. And this project has meant that these young women have greater status in the community. But as well as that, they can enjoy a better quality of life. So I don't think the problem is that cities are bad. This world and its cities have the resources to provide for the population that lives there. What it takes is a stronger will and a better distribution of resources.
That is the end of section 4. You now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening test. You now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet.